Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you have great coaches, then after you have great coaches, you get great players, you have a great organization, and you tell them one thing. Just win, baby.
Let's go, Raider Nation, and welcome to Just Pod Baby with your host, Evan Grote. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at egrote5, and you can check out my work over at silverandblackpride.com. Later in tonight's episode, I will be joined by our very own Levi Damian, lead writer at silverandblackpride.com. Well, it's we had a week off, and we're back. I hope everyone enjoyed their Memorial Day weekend, and I apologize for not getting an episode out to you last week, but that's going to happen, from time to time. And again, I hope you enjoyed your long weekend. Anyhow, we're back, and there's a lot to talk about. And for a change, we actually have on the field real football information to discuss. This week, the Raiders wrapped up their second week of voluntary OTA practices. And the media is allowed to cover a very small portion of a couple of these practices, and so if you follow Twitter, you can kind of get a feel for what is going on at practice and who is doing what and which player is getting reps with the first team and so on. So that's where I'd like to begin the show tonight. I want to kind of dive into what it is that we've learned in the first 2 weeks of Raiders OTAs. And the first topic is Arden Key. Going into the offseason, the Raiders were hoping that Arden would add some weight, add some strength, and some bulk to his thin frame. And by all accounts, so far, he has not done so.
Yeah, Arden is all our second-year players, I think, have been impressive the way that they've worked. We'd like to see Arden, be 260 pounds someday, 257 pounds someday. And he's working toward that. A.J. Neibel and our strength staff have done an excellent job. He's got to get stronger to be more complete. And I think it's going to take a little time, but he is working at it, and I got a lot of respect for that.
So there you heard John Gruden speaking at one of his press conferences. We don't really know what Key currently is weighing in at, but from the sounds of it, he isn't anywhere near where the Raiders coaches would have liked to seen him be at currently. With the additions of Benson Maioa and Cleveland Farrell and Josh Morrow, Key isn't going to be expected to be an every down defensive end like he was last year. And so, if he isn't quite bulked up, if he doesn't quite have the strength that they were hoping, it may not be as much of an issue as it was last year when he was being asked to, set the edge against the run, on a regular basis. Although, if you recall, Paul Gunther talked about how Key was, close on many plays last season. I think he said he missed anywhere between 8 and 9 sacks, and he credited a lot of that due to his lack of strength. So, would the strength help him, accumulate more sacks? Possibly, but, he isn't going to be asked to do as much. He's going to be strictly a third down pass rusher this year, which was the role he was drafted for originally. Another thing that we've learned is that John Gruden and Greg Olsen really like tight end Darren Waller.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And I think really as good a player as Jared Cook is and was for us, I just think this will really allow him to, you know, we felt like would it stun his growth if Jared were here possibly. So now that he has that position, it's your position. You are the F, you're our Y in certain personnel groupings, and you know we're gonna put you out there on the field, and you're gonna play, and you're gonna get better from playing. You're not gonna wait and sit behind Jared Cook and have to wait your turn. You've got to go now. So we're really pushing him to the limit right now.
And those were just some of the comments. John Gruden called him. Said he, if he continues to work the way he's working now, he could be one of the best kept secrets in the NFL this year. So that's high praise coming from his head coach and offensive coordinator. And you know, Waller is very intriguing. He's 6'6", 255 pounds, and he runs a 4.4. So that combination of size and speed at tight end is rare. And you know, you may be sitting there asking yourself, why has he been unable to, you know, put it together yet? And that's a very good question. And I don't know if I have the answer, but I do know that he's been suspended twice for substance abuse, and that certainly didn't help his development. But it seems as if the Raiders are going to give him every opportunity to be successful as the Raiders' starting tight end. And sometimes a player who's had some issues just needs a fresh start, just needs a change of scenery, and perhaps that's what a player like Waller, is getting with the Raiders. And the final thing that I think has been well noted in the first 2 weeks of OTAs is Antonio Brown and his work ethic and the energy that he is bringing to the practice field each day, and how it's been very contagious with his teammates.
But it's the beginning of the phase one, the OTAs. You know, it's a long way to go. Obviously, I bring a knack for finishing, a knack for competing, challenging guys. So you can ask my teammates about that. You know, I'm just here to put it on display.
So there you have it from Antonio Brown himself as he's hooting and hollering to his teammates. You know, so far, so good with Antonio Brown. I was one of the people who was very skeptical at first when the Raiders decided to trade for Brown, but so far he's proven me wrong. It's easy for things to, to be all well and good right now. You know, it's OTAs and they're out there in t-shirts and shorts and they haven't played a game yet. But as of now, the relationship between, Brown and his teammates and most importantly, Derek Carr seems to be developing nicely. He seems to be setting a very good example for his teammates, for the younger players on the roster. So, you have to be happy about everything you're hearing out of Raiders OTAs so far. Up next is headlines. Headline number one, the Raiders signed the controversial Richie Incognito this week to a one-year prove-it deal. Incognito last played for the Bills, where he spent three very productive seasons with the team, making three Pro Bowls. He retired following the 2017 season, and thereafter had multiple incidents involving the law, some of them very odd, to say the least. In August of 2018, he pled guilty to a misdemeanor disorderly conduct at a funeral home, where he was threatening employees and with guns that he said he had in his car. And then there was another issue where he allegedly threw a dumbbell at someone in a gym. So there's definitely some major concerns about the state of his mental health. And of course, we all remember the bullying scandal that went down in Miami with his then teammate, Jonathan Martin. Now, Mike Mayock this week addressed those criticisms, the criticisms that the team has kind of been under, after signing Incognito. And basically what Mayock has said was, you can't have all Boy Scouts. And at the end of the day, their main goal is to bring in players with high character, clean track records, but after doing their homework on Incognito, having conversations with him, laying out with what's expected of him both on and off the field, they felt comfortable bringing him in. So I trust that you know, they've done their homework and that they have a plan in place to help him. And he's definitely on the field. He's definitely an upgraded position. I was not 100% sold on Denzel Good being the starting left guard. I do feel much better about having Incognito in there as long as he can, you know, keep his act together. And, you know, I'm very excited right now the way the offensive line has taken shape. Headline number two, Don Webb, the chief operating officer for the Las Vegas Stadium, announced this week that the Raiders are in the final stages of completing a comprehensive transportation plan that will add significant parking to the stadium, and that's a good thing for fans. According to Webb, the newly purchased land would more than double the current parking space at the stadium site. And that was a major concern for fans. You know, it has been the tailgating experience. I know it's a big part of for Raider Nation. I've never been out there to experience it, but I've heard a lot about it. And, you know, as it is in all NFL cities, tailgating is a major part of the game day for fans. And there was a growing fear that, you know, space was lacking and it could be an issue. But it sounds like that will no longer be a problem. So fans, you know, take a deep breath. It does sound like you will have plenty of space there to tailgate and to get yourselves ready for the game. The third and final headline for this week is that the NFL is finalizing a deal to play the preseason Week 3 game between the Oakland Raiders and the Green Bay Packers in Canada, Winnipeg to be exact. And this would be a first time for the Raiders, and I think a first for the league. They played a couple games in Toronto there, the Bills. Buffalo Bills played in Toronto a couple times. But definitely a first time for the Raiders. And, you know, this is just another example of Roger Goodell really trying to globalize the NFL. And, you know, the Raiders have been world travelers the last few seasons, having played games in Mexico City and in London. And again, they're scheduled to play over in London again this current season and then soon to be in Canada in the preseason. So those are your headlines for this week. Up next is my interview with Raiders beat writer and lead writer for the silverandblackpride.com, Levi Damian.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On the line with me is lead writer at silverandblackpride.com, Levi Damian. Levi, welcome back to the show. How are things?
Things are good.
Good. Now, a lot has happened since the last time we had you on the show. The roster looks slightly different. They've, you know, continued to add some players in the later part of free agency. And, of course, the draft came and went, and the Raiders added several quality players there who should contribute immediately. But the first question I'd like to ask you is about the latest addition that was made this week, and it's brought some controversy along with it. So what is your take on the signing of Richie Incognito?
Well, I guess the term that keeps coming to my mind is that it's complicated, and I really believe it is. I think you can't really on the surface. Well, I guess you can if you want. You can condemn it. You can say the Raiders are wrong for signing him. You say he's a terrible person, whatever you want to say. But I think that would be – I think it's a little bit shallow of an opinion. There's just too many layers to this. You can say for certain one thing is that it is a risky signing. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So from the Raiders' perspective, it's hard to say how smart it is. Certainly he's only a season removed from Pro Bowl year. He didn't play last year, so you know it's hard to say if he's going to return to that form. They seem to think he will. And but from if you're going to say he's a horrible person, you should probably step back and really do some research on who on what kind of person he is, and understand that that there is a mental illness thing happening there. I mean, he takes medication for whatever it is. They've never really made public whether what kind of disorder he has, whether it's manic depressive or bipolar, you know, or whatever the case may be. But he does take medication for it. When he gets off that medication is when things go awry. So do you blame a guy for something that's virtually out of his control? Or do you not, I guess, is what it kind of comes down to. So that's the looking at him as a person type of thing. And certainly there are the, you know, the racial slur situation and the bullying thing that had him suspended for the entire 2014 season. You can certainly judge him for that if you like. But really, like, the only thing you can say for certain is that, is that it is a risky move from the Raiders' perspective. They're hoping that he's going to be the talent that he was, and that he's not going to cause any problems in the locker room. A lot of the fans I hear saying, well, it's not risky because it's a minimum deal. And I'm not talking about that. I don't think most people aren't really talking about like the risk being how much money they could lose or whatever, because that's just a complete non-issue. And it should be, it's a matter of what bringing in characters like him. And, you know, you could throw in Vontaze Burfict, and you could even throw in Antonio Brown into that situation, what those kind of characters will do to a locker room dynamic. And that's really where the only thing you can say is that it is a bit of a risk, but as far as what type of person he is, that's a lot more layered.
Now, I know that you've been out there at Raiders headquarters during the past couple weeks of Raiders OTAs, and that you've had a chance to observe some portions of the practice. So I do have a couple questions I'd like to ask you based on you know, some of the things that maybe you've witnessed. First, tell me, you know, I've read a lot about, and you know, it's been all over social media about the work ethic of Antonio Brown. From what you saw, is everything that they're saying, is it true? Is it contagious the way he works out there?
Well, he's certainly hoping it is, and some of the other players, you know, you can't help but think that it has to be, because, you know, you set an example. If you're Antonio Brown, you set an example for the kind of work ethic that, you know, these young players are looking to him to say, like, what does it take to be a great receiver? And he is a great receiver. And so these young players are naturally going to be looking at him and saying, I want to do what he does so that I have a shot at becoming the kind of player that he is, and to have the kind of longevity that comes with that as well. And there's no question he has a great work ethic. I don't think that's ever been in question. The criticisms of him have always surrounded what kind of character he is, what kind of personality he has, which is, he definitely has a big personality, and it takes takes a certain type of team to be able to deal with that. You just basically, but you look at him on the field and in the weight room and everything else like that, and the guy is obsessed, if you will. He's obsessed with fitness. He's obsessed with his health. He's obsessed with his craft, to the point where I can tell you this, standing on the sideline, his personal masseuse was there. Like, the Asian woman was being escorted on the field, and she's just there. He's got all this staff with him. He's got his nutritionist. He's got his masseuse. He's got his personal trainers that are aside from that he hires outside of the Raiders or any team he's with to give to him the extra leg up that he feels that he needs, and it's worked so far. And you'd have to think it's a good example. It certainly isn't a poor example of how to have a career as an NFL player.
That's pretty funny. Now there's two position groups in particular that I'm very curious about as we get closer to training camp. I'll start with the secondary. It's probably the deepest position on the roster, and there definitely is going to be some competition for some of those roles. At this point, from what, again, from the limited time that you've seen, who appears to be working with the first team at both cornerback and safety?
Well, it's the same four that have been, that were working with the first group at the end of last season. That be Gary and Conley and Darrell Worley at the corner positions, and Carl Joseph and Eric Harris at the safety positions. The only difference is now they have you see the regular presence of LaMarcus Joyner at that nickel corner position, which most, you know, the Raiders include are going to spend about 60-70% of their time in the nickel. So that's basically a starting position, whether he's on the field for the first snap of any game or not. So that's your five that you're going to typically see in the secondary, I would think. It would kind of match from this point to the season, would kind of, it would matter what Abram is able to show early on, whether he can break into that group or not.
Have you seen anything from the other two rookie cornerbacks, Mullen and Johnson? Have they shown anything that, you know, is worth mentioning?
Well, not really. I mean, you're talking about we've only had two OTAs, so we watched a total of maybe 3 hours. You factor in the fact that the first half an hour or so is just drills and stuff like that. A total of 3 hours in practices that are essentially geared for the offense. To be honest, there's not a lot of contact that happens. The offense is always going to look better at this time of year than the defense. And so it's hard to really judge what you see from the corners this early on. Every now and then you'll see a guy that, like, for instance, I think it was Shalom Luwani, his off season of the rookie. He did some pretty good things in OTAs, but that's a rare occasion where somebody stands out during these practices. So I really don't have anything much on them. There were a couple of really great passes that you think there was not really much that the defender could do if the pass is on point. I think, let's see, LaMarcus Joyner got victimized once. I think
by Antonio Brown, right? I think that one was on social media, the Antonio Brown clip.
Yes. Yes, it was. And Dallin Leavitt broke up a pass that was a little bit short. He's a guy that a lot of people probably won't recognize, but he was an undrafted rookie last year that they kind of liked and they kept around on the practice squad. But outside of that, there really wasn't much to speak of.
All right, just a few more questions, or a couple more questions for you, Levi. The other position group that I mentioned is linebackers, and I know this may be tough for you to answer, again, because you've only seen limited action, but, you know, Vontaze Burfict and Brandon Marshall were brought in to go along with some of the guys like Markell Lee and Nicholas Morrow, Tahir Whitehead, Jason Kabinda, and they also have the undrafted free agent Tavon Coney. Have we learned anything from the first 2 weeks of OTAs at the linebacker position?
Well, we've learned who's running with the first team for sure. Vontaze Burfict wasn't practicing. He was working out on the side with the trainer for the first OTA, but he returned for the second OTA and he stepped right into the first team work when he did come back. He left for a couple snaps and you're wondering if that was just going to be a temporary thing that he was in there, but then he came right back in and he's working with the first team. Brandon Marshall's been, has been out both OTAs, so we don't really know for absolute certain that he's going to be first team. You can just assume that he will be. And I was going to say, I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought there, but which position he's going to work at. Tahir Whitehead is on the strong side. And then Brandon Marshall will be on the weak side. And then you got Vontaze Burfict, and lining up behind him would be Markell Lee, and I think Kabinda's been working on an outside linebacker a lot. So I don't know if that would stick that way or if that's just how they're fitting them in right now, but that's how it's been shaking out.
One of the other players whose name I keep hearing in press conferences, and his name's popped up on Twitter quite a bit, is Darren Waller, the tight end. John Gruden and Greg Olsen both had, you know, really high praise for him in their press conferences. You know, what have you seen from him, and what type of impact do you expect to see from him this season?
Well, he's very athletic, and they seem to have a lot of faith in him, if only because they don't have a lot of choice right now. But he could be something special. I mean, he could be just what they say he is. He could be one of those flying under the radar types of guy. If you look at kind of like the way his career has unfolded, he kind of fits that mold of a guy that could be ready to break out and do something good. He certainly had, like I said, he certainly has the athleticism and, you know, the size. Mayock made a point during the draft to say that I thought I was looking at Noah Fant as a way to say, hey, everybody, don't feel bad that we missed out and we didn't pick Noah Fant. And a lot of people probably wanted the Raiders to do and thought that'd be a perfect fit for that team and a perfect replacement of Jared Cook, because we have just as good of a, we have Noah Fant right here. The guy who's basically Noah Fant's clone, we have Darren Waller.
So, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what they are hoping that they have. And there's been flashes. You saw it, you know, certainly late last season to show you that okay, he certainly deserves a shot. Whether you want to put all your eggs in that basket is another story, but that's the situation they're in.
Okay. And the final question I have for you, play a little game of over under with the Raiders season total for wins. The last time I checked, I believe Vegas had the Raiders at 6 wins. So, you know, the schedule looks pretty brutal. If you were a betting man, are you taking the over or under 6 wins for the Raiders in 2019?
I am going to say that since it's not in a half point, I don't have to take the over or the under. I can take it right at 6. So I'm going to go with the push.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Well, that's all I have for you, Levi. You know, thanks again for hopping on and sharing some of your time and some of the thoughts on Raiders OTA with us.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, keep up the good work, Levi, and we'll be in touch. Take care.
Okay, bye.
That was my interview with Levi Damian of silverandblackpride.com. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the podcast. I'd like to thank all of you for your support and for tuning in and listening to this week's episode. And don't forget, you can now find Just Pod Baby on the Silver and Black Pride podcast network. So make sure you subscribe to that. Do me a favor, leave me a rating and review. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know what I can fix. I'm always, I'm always appreciative of the feedback. I hope that everyone has a great week, and go Raiders!